we asked Ron Van Dam a very simple question. What do you think of the Ron Van Dam Show?
It can be exhilarating at times. It can be horrible.
You have to admire the guy's honesty. You are listening to Ron Van Dam on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
What are you doing here?
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
This is like making a wrong turn in your car. Turn around, go away. It's a dead end, ladies and gentlemen. Turn around. You need to sharpen up on your clicking skills. I don't think you meant to click on this, to be honest with you. But you can't take a click back. Once you click, you're there. So nestle down, hunker down there, and make yourself comfortable. You're in for a ride. Hey, welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. I am Ron Van Dam. Look, here I am. Over here, over here, over here. My eyes are up here, not down there. Thank you. How you doing? You doing all right? Oh, God. Thanks for dressing up. Seriously, what kind of disrespect do you have going on in your house? You click on somebody to come into your life for a short period of time, that would be me, and you don't even bother getting dressed. You call that dressed? Are you serious? That's not dressed. That's like just putting something on your skin. That's ridiculous. What if an Amazon delivery person dropped off a package at your front door? You're gonna open the door looking like that? What are you, crazy? All right. That's enough. Welcome to the program. How are you? I've got a great show for you today. Yeah, I do. Yeah. Don't backtalk me. I do. It's been quite a, happy Mother's Day weekend to you. I hope you had a great Mother's Day, no matter what you are, whether you're a mother, a father, a child, a donut, whatever. Did you do something nice for your mother? Did you at least contact the little lady, huh? Mm-hmm. They're fine. All they said this so many times last week, all they want is a phone call. That's all they don't. They don't want a gift. They don't want a present. They may appear like they do, as they may have asked for something, but that's not really what they want. They just want you to call them. They want you to get in touch with them. You don't have to show up at their door. As a matter of fact, they don't want you in their house. They really don't. I don't care if it's what's going on or not, you know. Even if times are normal, they don't want you at their house. They say they do, but they don't. All they want is a freaking phone call. Or, I'm sorry, millennials, a video chat. That's all they want. That's all. They are simple human beings. They give birth to little humans, and after that, you know, they'll breastfeed if it's, like, convenient. But after that, man, all they want is a phone call. That's it. And that starts at 3 years old. At 3 years old, give them a phone call. Don't even show up. That's all. All right. Hi. How are you? I hope you're doing well. As I've said so many times before, I am the only talk show host on the planet that actually cares about how you're doing. The others may say that. They don't even do that. They just go on right into the show. Hey, welcome to the program. Here's our guest. Boring. I actually care about you. I care about your every move. Yeah, that's why I have to keep buying binoculars. Seriously. I really don't care. but I make it sound like I do. And perception is 100% of the law. All right. I'm going to talk about a couple of things today. This is funny. Oh, this is so funny. You're going to love this. Did you know that, this is a fact.
Ladies and gentlemen, please prepare yourselves. It is that time again for Ron's Fact of the Day.
I don't want to sound like Al Gore here, and I don't do an impression of him. I've tried to work the voice, but I can't quite get it down. But I want to sound like Al Gore, but it's a fact that within, say, about 30 years from now, much of our major cities and our popular tourism islands will be underwater. Yeah, it's true. Or at least flooded to the point where things are not pretty. So I'm watching a show last night. I watch Home and Garden Television, HGTV, a lot because I love to see couples struggle to find themselves a home that they can't afford. It's like just fun. It's like candy for me. So they do this on the show. It's all set up. You know, it's not reality television. It's all like recreated. You know, when you see a couple looking for a house on House Hunters, do you watch that show? When you see a couple looking for a house on House Hunters, they've already found the house. They're recreating it. That's all they're doing. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I broke that reality bubble for you. Most of television is not real, and I think you know that. So I'm watching it, and it's a House Hunters, but it's Island House Hunters. It's these rich, snobby people who dress up like they're about to play 18 holes of golf and are colorblind. You know how golfers dress. Lime pants, lime green pants. Seriously, is that even a thing? Plaid shirts with striped pants. God. Polo shirts that aliens would throw up if they saw this kind of, well, you people from this planet dress so strange. You think the 70s wardrobe was strange? Golfers, to this day, orange t-shirts and white pants. What are you, a creamsicle? What the hell's wrong with you? Why is it that playing golf, all of a sudden, all your fashion sense goes out the window? You think you're being fashionable, but you look like a total moron walking around a big meadow with a golf club, basically a stick and a ball, dressed like that. There's something wrong with you. Asking some guy named Pedro to carry your clubs, this is not right. This is wrong. These are, for the most part, except you. For the most part, these are snobby, well-off people that say that they enjoy exercise, yet they ride around in a golf cart. They don't even walk. It's just so stupid. Anyway, that aside, these people, these fairly well-off people, decide to either move to an island resort and live there because they don't have to make money anymore, or they go there for half the year. But one way or the other, they're not coming from the slums directly and then buying a home on an island. You know that's not the case financially. So already, I'm watching people that I don't really care for necessarily. But here's what evens things out. They want an island home, and they want it on the water. They love the water. Look, I love water too. I drink about half a gallon of water a day. My doctor says that I should do it to keep my bowels moving. And also it's good for my body. So I like water, sure. Ice cubes, maybe a little flavored water is nice every once in a while. But yeah, I like water. These people like water because they want to live on it. They want to get up in the morning, look out the window, and feel like they're on a boat or something. They just love the water. When there's nothing more pleasing to them scenically than making it look like they're about to drown. I don't get it, but fine, whatever. They just love the water. So they're looking for houses that's like right on the water. And some of them are even on stilts because even the Bahamas even recognize the fact that a lot of our places flood on a normal basis. And now with these storms coming in because of the climate change thing, storms are intensified. It's wiping out islands all over the place, including the Bahamas. I don't know how old this show was, probably a few years old before the islands were almost wiped out. Not a good idea to live on the islands near the water these days. You're pretty much just saying to your spouse, let's take all our money and drown ourselves and kill ourselves. Shall we do that? Should we live in a storm-ridden environment where any second we could be swept away by a tsunami or have a tornado go right through our living room? Should we do that? Mm-hmm, sounds good. So I'm watching this show, and through the whole show, these people are walking around like, this is a lap of luxury. This is the perfect living. This is what I wanted all my life. Okay, enjoy. I hope you can afford the house insurance and the flood insurance. You can even buy an expensive home on the ocean and use the phrase, let's ride out the storm continually. Anyway, my point is that buying a home on the water, on the ocean, probably not a great idea right now. Or at all. You like the water? Get a picture of it and put it on your wall. That's what I say. Or on a nice day, get in your car, put on a bathing suit, get a little lounge chair, you know, a little beach chair, and go sit on the beach for 3 hours, bake yourself like a cookie in the oven, and then go home. Love the water. I love the water too, okay? That's why I take a bath. Actually, I haven't taken a bath in a long time. I've showered, don't get me wrong. I shower on a regular basis. But taking a bath, lying in a pool of my own filth? No, thank you. No, thank you. That's like trying to fit my butt in a glass of water. I'm afraid I don't fit in bathtubs anymore. I used to be a lot more pliable. I used to bend in certain places and I can get into a bathtub. I don't bend anymore. My whole body, it is what it is. The bathtub will not accept it. It's just not going to happen. Ron, can't you bend your knees in a bathtub? You know what? I could. But I won't. So I'm beyond my knee bending days for anything. I will not bend my knees to get into a bathtub. I will not bend my knees to pick up something off the floor. I ain't bending my knees. What if there's something in a cabinet and you need to get it out of the cabinet? If it's food, I'll bend. Otherwise, no. Okay, fine. Okay. By the way, this show will be longer than usual. Okay. I'm going to talk about one more thing, and this really bothers me. Oh, does this bother me? This is a very tender subject, so give me a little leeway here as I try to explain myself. I get a lot of junk mail, I get more junk mail than I do regular mail, which is fine, because regular mail is usually bills, and I don't care for those things. So junk mail isn't so bad. I look at the envelope, who sent it to me. I don't open it up. I just throw it immediately in the garbage. It takes, 10 seconds? It's not a big deal. I can go through like 20 pieces of junk mail in 20 seconds. I get this from the March of Dimes a lot. Now I'm getting it from a thing called the NCCS. Now, this is sensitive because NCCS stands for, oh God, I gotta get another job. It stands for the National Children's Cancer Society. Oh, okay. Why are they contacting me? Well, they want money. And I get it. I get it. And here's the thing. Once you give to a cause like that, it's not over. Then they hound you a lot. They'll send you junk mail to contribute more every single week. Every single week of your life. They'll even try to set up contribution payment plans as if I owe them money. It starts to get a little, stalky, Like, I'm being stalked by a charity. What do? You go to the police, the FBI? I'm being stalked. Oh, my God. Is it dangerous? Yeah, I'm being stalked by a charity. What, are you crazy? No, I am being stalked. They won't leave me alone. They keep asking me for money. Isn't that extortion? Do they threaten you? In a way they do. In a way they don't. But yeah. I want a restraining order against them, mail-wise, please. And I hate to say this about the National Children's Cancer Society in St. Louis, Missouri. By the way, how large is this cancer society? Here's their address, 500 North Broadway, Suite 1850. This entire society is in Suite 1850? That's a two-desk office, probably, in an office building around the corner from a Starbucks. Anyway, in the envelope, in the window of the envelope, encased with the letter itself, listen, hear this, five quarters. They're sending me $1.25 for no reason whatsoever. I know the reason, and you know the reason, and this is what I'm complaining about. They're trying to collect money for their cancer society. God love you. God love you. They're asking me to send them money. The way they ask me to send them money is to send me money. $1.25. This is their campaign. I don't know how many of these they sent out. Probably a million of them, or 500,000 of them. At least, at the very least, a million. A million times $1.25 is a lot of freaking money for the Cancer Society. This is what they've sent out. They do it to make you feel guilty. Oh, they sent me $1.25. Oh, I've got to send them something. It's a guilt. I don't mind giving to something, but don't guilt me into it. That's manipulation, and that's where I get a little pissed off. Here's what it says on the front of the envelope. Look, I'll hold it up to the microphone. Here's what it says on the front of the envelope. Would you return these quarters to help a child with cancer have more birthdays? You're manipulating me. Oh, my God. What are you doing to me? Let's be adult here. They're going after the weak-hearted. Would you return these quarters to help a child with cancer have more birthdays? Wow. Wow. So my answer is yes, I would return these quarters to help a child with cancer have more birthdays, and I will return these five quarters. How did you make any money? All they're asking me is to return the quarters that they just sent me to help a child have more birthdays. Okay. I'll spend the postage stamp. You did too. You sent me $1.25. You sent me five quarters. Plus the postage to send it here. It's heavy to send five quarters. I don't know what the postage was. Even the bulk rate is probably expensive. So nobody's making out. You're spending more money. You're giving away more money than you're taking in, I guess, unless you find a real guilty person. I don't get these charities. Ladies and gentlemen, just because something is a charity doesn't make them intelligent. March of Dimes does the same thing. They send me dimes. Like every few months, they'll send me dimes, making me feel guilty that they're sending me dimes. I could go on with this in a nasty sense, but I can't because it's a charity. I don't know if it's a legit charity. I have no idea whatsoever. Just because they send an envelope in the mail doesn't make it legit. Anyway, that's my complaint of the day, of which I apparently have many.
Are you aware that one in every seven Americans is in desperate need of a dope slap? Studies show that every 17 seconds in America, someone writes, says, or does something so incredibly stupid that they deserve to be slapped, and you can help. If someone you know commits an act of boneheaded stupidity, simply extend your hand with the palm facing to the side, draw your arm back, and deliver a sharp, solid blow straight across their forehead. It's called a dope slap. It only takes a moment to perform, but the lesson can last a lifetime. This has been a message from the American Dope Slap Association and Metro South Podcasting.
Well, there you go. Thank you so much. I have become so bored with this this thing going on that I actually, when I went Christmas shopping last December, before anybody knew this thing was going to be blanketing the entire globe, whenever I go Christmas shopping, I always buy myself something as well. Because when you're shopping for somebody else, you see a lot of things that you want for yourself, but you don't buy them because that's not the idea of the trip. But it's very tempting. This is why shopping is not a good idea. Don't shop. Just don't shop. It's awful. It's just, shopping is awful. Don't go to Amazon either. Amazon's got everything. Nothing's in stock, but they have everything. Remember when Amazon used to deliver the next day or the next 2 days? No more. You order something and you get to the sign out screen and it says it'll ship in September. Why are you even bothering? What do you mean you ship in September? What happened to tomorrow? Oh, well, that's the stuff everybody wants. If you want the stuff everybody wants, we don't have it. If you want the stuff nobody else wants to buy, we got a lot of it. You can get it tomorrow. Okay. Okay, Bezos. I get your thing now. Oh, man. I don't know. I thought I'd save a lot of money being stuck at home. It's not working out that way. I mean, I am a little bit. But I'm still shopping. Everybody's still shopping. So anyway, so back at Christmas time, remember then when things were normal? I'm shopping and I see this electronic dartboard, and I don't have one. And it was really inexpensive. It was almost like, here, we're giving them away, just take one. It was really cheap. So I bought this electronic dartboard. Darts are a very interesting game. It's like bowling. There's extremely no point to it. There's a little bit of skill involved, but not really. You have to be very, very bold to actually tell somebody that this is what you do on the side. I know a guy who's really into bowling, has his own ball. That's where you draw the line with bowling, by the way. Do you like to bowl? Sure, we go down the lanes every once in a while. We'll have a couple of beers. We'll bowl. I bring my ball down. Oh, you bring your ball. Okay. All right. We're in a different category now of fascination. Do you have your own shoes? You bet I do. Wow, you got your own bowling shoes. I kind of get that. I don't want to put my feet into other people's places that had the same pair of shoes on. I'm not. That's like exchanging underpants. Hey, I like to wear those underpants. Yeah, you want to go? I'll tell you where I got them. No, I want to wear yours. I want to wear yours now. I want the feel of your sweaty crotch on mine. Yeah, that's one of the reasons I don't go bowling is, you know, you have to put your feet into other people put their feet in the same shoe. And the bowling guy, I call him the bowling guy. I don't know what you call these people. They're behind the counter. I guess counter bowling guys. They say, no, it's perfectly sanitary, Mr. Van Damme. We put powder in the shoes. Oh, well, that's a great sanitary device. Talcum powder. Aren't people suing for that? Isn't talcum powder, doesn't that cause cancer? If I were you, sir, I would double check your medical records there. Talcum powder to me is not cleaning the shoes. It's putting powder inside a shoe and not really doing much of anything. So I get a bowler having their own shoes. I have my own shoes, not bowling shoes. I have my own shoes. I have shoes that I wear when I go out. Those are my shoes. My own bowling ball? No. That's a serious bowler. And then you go even further. You really like to bowl, huh? You have your own ball and your own shoes. I'm on a team. Oh, no. Okay. All right. Okay. You're on a team as well. Don't tell me that you have one of those stupid bowling shirts that has the printing on the front and on the back and says, I love bowler or Bernie's Auto Parts. Yeah, I do. Okay. All right. All right, here's what we're going to do. You're going to walk that way, I'm going to walk this way, and we're going to make believe we never had a conversation or even saw each other, okay? Because I'm not in that ballpark, in that bowling ballpark. And as I've said, the only thing I like about bowling, and the only thing I like about bowling is that the balls come back to you automatically. You don't have to go chasing your balls. Are we still talking about the same thing? In every other sport, tennis. Oh, no, go get the ball. baseball, soccer, you name it, football. Anytime you miss catching the ball or getting the ball, or you have to go chase it and you have to go get it. In bowling, it comes back to you on a ramp. As a matter of fact, watch your fingers. Here it comes. So that's the only redeeming part of bowling, but it's not enough. It's not enough to make it a sport. You actually have to go to a place that has bowling alleys specifically designed for bowling. So no, thank you, no. So I buy this dartboard, which I consider to be, easy bowling. You know, like throwing a ball down a lane, I'm throwing a dart toward a board. Same difference. I haven't opened up the box yet. I've been in lockdown, shut down. I've been in jail basically for about 2 months now, and I haven't opened the box to the dartboard. And I'm finding that I have all this time, but I'm not doing anything with it now. At first, I was vacuuming and cleaning and washing the walls. I was washing the walls, and the walls looked beautifully clean. That was for about a week. Now, it's 4 o'clock. Yeah, can I have a drink? I don't know. All right, kids, we're just about out of time. So this is the feedback section of the program. This is where you tell me how you feel about the show, and then I will respond to you. Never. How about that? Have you ever sent me an email? Did you actually expect a response? How could you? Do you even know me? Did you actually think that I would respond to you? I'll respond if it's necessary. Otherwise, I'll make believe I didn't get it. You betcha. You betcha. All right, ladies and gentlemen. You have yourself a wonderful day. I don't know what the hell you're going to do today, or what you have already done. I really don't know, but I'm sure it'll be exciting for somebody other than yourself. Yeah, I know. Do you get up in the morning and the most exciting thing you can think of is what you're going to have for dinner? Raise your hand if dinner becomes an event. Yeah, it used to be something that we just had on the fly. Now it's an event. Everything's an event. When I have to go to the bathroom, and sometimes it requires a cup of coffee to get things moving, if you know what I mean. When I go to the bathroom, that's an event. That's a major part of my day now. I prepare for it. I do some sit-ups. No, I don't actually, because then you have to bend your knee. So I don't do sit-ups. Sit-ups. Who invented sit-ups? God, it's like torture. Push-ups and sit-ups. Anything with an up in it is torture. Who invented that? I think it was done by some type of a sadomasochist or a something. Let's make people get on the floor and contort their bodies in ways that they don't naturally go. And we'll call it exercise, and we'll tell them that when you exercise, you get this exercise high. tell them that it actually makes you high, when all that's happening is you can't breathe anymore, you get shortness of breath, and you start getting dizzy like you're going to faint. That's what the high is. But don't tell them they're about to die. Just tell them that that's an exercise. It's a good thing. It's your endorphins of cleansing your body. Give them some kind of shit like that. They'll buy it. Believe me. These exercise people, they'll buy anything. Yeah, yeah. This is, do you know who invented blenders? Exercise people. We can't sell these things. Nobody's using a blender. Here's what you do. Tell them it's part of the exercise routine. You throw anything you have in there into the blender, and then you drink it. Doesn't matter what color it is. Doesn't matter how it tastes. Just, we'll sell tons of blenders. And they did. Then they made blenders that were specifically for exercise people. Yeah, juicers. Juicers. You know, have a old juice. Put vegetables in juice. Put old meat in old lamb chops. Put that in the juicer. That's healthy for you. Really? Juice has like sugar in it. That's not healthy. And then you spend 17 hours cleaning out the blender and the juicer. You got pulp all over the place. Ugh. Ugh, what's that? What's that stuff all over? That's pulp. It's just pulp. Don't worry about it. It's just pulp. Pulp. I've never said the word pulp in my life. Pulp. Yeesh. I said I was going to leave, and I was only kidding. It is time for me to go. I'll be back with a brand new show tomorrow. Until then, oh my goodness, huh? Look at the time. Look at the time. Until then, I wish you peace. Please don't turn this off until the theme music ends. It's almost going to end, like it's about another 30 seconds. But see this all the way through, will you?